Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Heaven. But first, here's his message, Heaven at Last.
Now, heaven is beyond our imagination, but it is not beyond our contemplation. It should not escape our contemplation. And there is given to us in the Word of God descriptions, snapshots of the place called heaven. Well, John the Apostle, John the Revelator, is on the Isle of Patmos, and he sees some amazing sights. And he travels down the streets of heaven. And he writes, he gives us photographs, if you will. He writes with these pictures of what it will be like when we are in the presence of the Lord. And yet it cannot compare to what it will actually be like. The Bible inspires us, instructs us to set our affections on things above. Jesus told us to store up treasures in heaven. He taught us to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are challenged in the Word of God to fix our eyes upon Christ, to fasten our attention on the life that is to come, because knowing that life makes this life all the better. We have a proper perspective and a passionate, bold reason for living when we embrace eternity and eagerly expect eternity now. We are to anticipate our time with Christ forever every single day. I heard about an old man who was dying. He was a strong believer in Christ. His son asked him, Father, what is it like to die? How do you feel? And he said, I feel like a little boy on Christmas Eve. And that is the spirit, that is the heart, that is the hope that we have. The great writer C.S. Lewis said, I must make it, that is heaven, the main object of life, to press on to that other side or that other country and to help others do the same. I hope as a believer in Christ that you are thinking about heaven, not just a little bit, but a whole lot. I pray that you are teaching your children about heaven, that you're speaking to your family about this wonderful place that is prepared for us. We ought to sing the songs of heaven and preach messages concerning that day, preparing one another and preparing our own lives for the day we go to heaven. In Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Jesus said, I will make all things new. Everything will be brand new in that glorious place called heaven. You know, on this side, even the newest things get old. But in heaven, we will live in the perpetual freshness and newness, the joy of adventure every single day. The scripture tells us that this place called heaven, heaven at last, will be a brand new creation. Verse 1 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. The world as we know it will change dramatically when Christ comes and the new heavens and the new earth is established. Now, of course, we want to ask the question, well, why new heavens and why new earth? Well, because the first heaven and the first earth is passed away. How will the first heaven and the first earth pass away? We're told in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the name, by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This creation, this current creation, is scarred, stained by sin, and therefore groans. That's what the scripture talks about in Romans chapter 8 when Paul speaks of this world, Mother Earth, being in labor. And that is why we know suffering and pain and sorrow. This creation is cursed by the power of sin, and therefore there will be a great transformation when Christ comes and his kingdom comes, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. But not only a new creation, but there will be a new city, a heavenly city, a holy city, verse 2, that comes down out of heaven, prepared beautifully like a bride adorned for her husband. What is this new city going to be like? This is a description. This is a photo of heaven. What will it be like? Well, what is a city like? What is a city? A city is a community. It is a place filled with homes. When Jesus chose to describe heaven, he described it as the Father's house. He described it as a place of many mansions, of many dwelling places. So heaven is like home. We have an instinct, an intuition, a yearning to be at home, to be at home with him. The Bible says that God has set eternity in our hearts. Now in life, home is where you want to be. And no matter what your experience in life, no matter how great this journey of life may be, there is the eager expectation, there is the excitement for the believer about going home. Now I know I'm speaking to some today who've had horrible experiences at home, growing up in a home that wasn't like heaven. And you might be thinking, my home wasn't like heaven at all. My home was more like hell than heaven. But let me remind you that the heavenly home will be everything that God intended the home and the family of faith to be, with all the good and none of the bad. And you may be suffering various trials, a variety of trials in your life. You may be in the middle of the griddle right now, and you think there's no way out of my situation. There's no exit from my problem. Maybe someone has hurt you very deeply in life. Maybe you started out with a marriage with such hopes and such dreams for the future and love, and yet everything is crashed and burned, and your family is fractured. Not once, maybe even twice or more. And you never expected life to turn out as it's turned out. Maybe you're so far in debt that you feel you'll never dig out, and all your career path has ended up in the weeds. Perhaps a loved one has died or is dying, and you're wondering, will I ever see them again? Now, if you have hope in this life only, if you think life is just all about now and living it up today, this present world, then you're going to become increasingly discouraged, despondent, and depressed. If you think the whole purpose is just to enjoy life and live it as long as you can here and now, you have missed the point. Certainly as a believer in Christ, and you will find yourself deep in a hole that you wonder, where is hope? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18, we read of our hope. He says, therefore, we are not disappointed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And the reason that we do not lose heart, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed every day. That is, we are getting stronger and stronger spiritually, though outwardly, physically, we're dying. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Now watch this. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I want you to think of heaven as, and the idea of heaven being a home is much more than a metaphor. Because heaven is a literal place. It is a physical place, not some mystical, ethereal existence out there somewhere. Heaven is a place more real than this place. And just as your home is a home which is filled with familiarity and security of family and friends, heaven is not some strange place far, far away. But it is a wonderful place where family and friends now await us, where we will share together perfect love and life and liberty with Christ. Heaven is home. I know sometimes we feel as though this side is home, and particularly if a loved one or perhaps you yourself are facing a terminal illness and death at an earlier age, that we worry that we would leave the party early, that we would miss something, that we would leave something behind. Well, let me tell you something. The party isn't here, it's in heaven. What did Jesus say? He said, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angel when a sinner comes home. And what joy there's going to be when you get to heaven. You're thinking as you leave, oh, I'm bummed out. I'm leaving the party early. No, you're just getting there before the rest of us. And the party there is to celebrate Christ and your life in Him. And by the way, you won't be counting those birthdays anymore, because this will be forever.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Heaven at Last. Pastor, this month we have a very special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's your book, Heaven. What can you tell us about this great resource?
I wanted to encourage God's people for life today by providing a biblical glimpse from God's Word of the life that comes. Unfortunately, there's so much misinformation in our culture about what heaven is like, and that many people don't even find it appealing. After all, who wants to think about spending eternity sitting in the heavens somewhere playing a harp on a cloud? The biblical description of heaven is far from boring. It is thrilling and triumphant. More than that, it has the power to energize you as a believer to live every day filled with hope. That's why I believe my book, Heaven, would be such an encouragement to you in these challenging days. So please be sure to request your copy of Heaven when you give today. And I pray that it will fill you with hope and love and life for all that God has in store for you in the future, and that it inspires you to live boldly for Jesus today.
Call today and get Dr. Graham's book, Heaven, as our thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message, Heaven at Last.
I like what Randy Alcorn has said in his classic book on heaven. He said, the day I die will be the best day I ever live. And I would simply add to that that it's even better. That the day you die will be the best day you live in heaven forever. And you won't be in heaven 10 seconds until you realize what if I had lived for this earth? What if I had somehow missed the whole point of life and lived for now, not realizing that I am to live for then? There's a homesickness for heaven in the believer's heart. Have you ever been homesick? I've been homesick a time or two. First time I was ever homesick was when I went off to college at Hardin-Simmons University in Abilene. I'd grown up in Fort Worth, and like most college kids, I couldn't wait to leave the house and go to college. And I had a beautiful car at that time. It was a 1960 gray and purple Rambler with a hole in the fender. I bought it for $75 from a friend. I mean, it was a real chick magnet, this car. I'd gone down to Spartan's department store. The stuffing was coming out of the seat, so I'd gone down to Spartan's department store and got one of those nylon slip covers to put over it. Remember those? Oh, yeah, it was really great. But anyway, I didn't even know if this car would make it to Abilene, so my parents, they with stuff in the back, you know, we traveled out there as we've done with our children and you with yours, and we spent the day unpacking, getting me set up in room 281 in Anderson Hall, a corner room overlooking the campus. It was a great room, and then the time came to say goodbye, and it was dusk by now and getting dark, and we hugged goodbye, and I started feeling it a little bit. And I stayed in the room as my parents walked down, and I watched my dad and my mom get in their Chevrolet and turn the ignition on, the lights on. And I remember to this day, I still tear up thinking about it, my parents driving off in the distance, the taillights getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And I can tell you a wave of homesickness came over me like nothing that I had ever felt in my life. Oh, I was excited to be there, but it wasn't home. And it took me a while to adjust to campus life and being at home. Well, it is a sick, sick feeling. Some of you veterans, maybe you have the experience of going off to the military and being so homesick. And the day you came home, what a day that was for you, your family. Well, just multiply that times eternity times infinity. And you know that there is a homesickness in the heart of the believer. We feel it ever now and then. But I tell you, as the longer I live, even though I've never been to heaven, I miss it already. I miss it. What did Peter say? The Savior is coming, the one that we've not seen and yet we love. Our heart should be there, because the best this earth has to offer is just an appetizer for heaven. Maybe you've been in a worship service when your soul has soared as you've worshiped God, and maybe something in the message motivated you or moved you, and you were, though you walked in maybe bored or tired or even discouraged, you are lifted up and you're inspired. And maybe you were in a revival meeting one day and you were moved to repent and return to Christ, and you were so close to God. Remember those times, those moments when you could just sense the presence of God as though you could reach out and touch Him. Well, in heaven, you can reach out and touch Him. We will look into His eyes. We will be embraced by His nail-scarred hands. We will fall at His feet and worship Him forever. That's what we'll be doing. Now, please don't get the idea that heaven is going to be this long, boring church service. It will be an exciting, glorious worship service. And we're told in that place there will be no pain, there will be no sorrow, there will be no disturbances, no more death, no more tears. And that brings me to the final word, which is this place called heaven is a new condition. Old things are passed away, everything has become new forever. No more tears, no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain. Why? No more pain. Because all of this has passed away. There's no more sin. There's no more curse. There's no more drag. There's no more defeat. No more temptation. No more dealing with the flesh and the power of the flesh. No more dealing with the devil, because evil has been eradicated. The devil has been banished. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Why will there be no tears? Why will be there no sorrow? Why will there be no death and no pain? Because there's no more sin. Sin is the cause. Sin is the curse that has caused so much pain in life. When I was a college student in 1970, Deb and I had just gotten married. We were young and probably stupid, but in love. We grew up in a hurry the summer of our marriage in 1970 because my father was brutally injured and subsequently died in an attack at his business. My father was murdered. He lived for 10 days after the attack, and of course we did what many of you have done, and that is to live in an ICU unit at Harris Hospital for those days and hours that just seemed to never end. We had prayed that he would get well, but he didn't. And I remember slipping away to the chapel of Harris Hospital and getting on my knees and praying and just asking God to show me somehow a purpose in this or a reason for this. And of course, there's so many questions in the times of death, and certainly a tragic and unexpected death. And I remember getting back to Hardin-Simmons, and I was pastor of a little church at that time out in Cross Plains, Texas, and Deb and I had a great time in that little church, and I kept preaching. I was playing baseball, working my way really through college by playing baseball and preaching on Sundays. They paid me $40 a weekend. I wasn't worth that, I assure you. One day in the locker room, a teammate of mine said, "Jack, aren't you?" He said, "Why do you keep this preaching? Why do you keep doing this? What happened to your father?" He said, "Aren't you just angry with God? Aren't you mad at God? Aren't you bitter?" And I said, "Let me tell you something. I am bitter. And yes, I'm angry. I'm extremely upset about this. But I'm not angry with God. I'm not bitter about life. I'm bitter at the devil. I'm angry with evil. And I intend to spend the rest of my days preaching Christ and the love of God and the power of Jesus to save people from sin. I'm on fire because I believe God has given me a purpose. Even in death, there is life, and this is what God has called me to do." And it changed my perspective. But in heaven, there will be no more injuries and no more death and no more sorrow and no more hospitals and no more grief and all the rest. We will be with Him. And yes, we'll worship Him forever. And don't think that we're just going to sit on a cloud and waste eternity away. No, the Bible says there His servants serve Him day and night. There will be no skeptics there, no cynics there, no sin there. Just the pouring out of perfect praise, and all the glory will go to Jesus. Oh, what it's going to be like when we see His face, when we look into His eyes, when we see Him smile and say, "Welcome home, my child." And to fall at His feet and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and giving me eternal life. For this is eternal life," our Lord said, "and that is to know the one true God and His only Son whom He has sent." And the way you can know that you have eternal life is to receive Jesus today, because if you wait till you get there on the other side as to try to figure out whether you've got eternal life or not, it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." I want to invite you to the one and only one who can give you eternal life and the hope of heaven, and His name is Jesus.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Heaven at Last. What will heaven really be like? Who will you meet there? What will you do forever? Get biblical answers to these questions and more in Dr. Graham's book, Heaven. With so many misleading ideas in the world today about heaven, it's important every believer understands the truth about heaven from God's Word. And Dr. Graham's book takes you straight to the source for the exciting truth about the amazing home God's prepared for you in eternity. Heaven is our special thank you for your gift today to help reach more people with the gospel through PowerPoint. So call now to give and get your copy. And thank you for your generosity. call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Scott, the day believers come face to face with Jesus in heaven will be glorious. You know, there is great hope in what's to come if you know Jesus, and I mean know him personally. We're to pray for his coming every day, and we should live as though his return could be at any moment. In today's message, I gave you a few points from Scripture that will help remind you of what's to come when we reach heaven. Our world is dying right now, but in heaven, we can look forward to a new creation, a new city, a new condition in which we live forever. It's so important to remember that we're just passing through this world. In fact, the Scripture says that life is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, I realize you may be going through a difficult situation in your life right now. Maybe you're struggling through a marital problem, even a divorce, or the death of a loved one, or perhaps you're desperate to regain the control of your finances and your future. Well, whatever it is, stay strong in Jesus, and remember that you have hope, the hope of spending eternity with him if you're a believer. And that life with him will be without pain and full of joy. As you continue looking and living towards the future, I pray that you will put into action the words of Paul in Philippians 3:14, that you will press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Until the day you meet Jesus in heaven, press forward, push forward, and lean hard upon Christ. Begin sharing him with others and following him passionately in every area of your life.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's book, Heaven, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about what you will feel forever in heaven. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.